Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Oh, brothers and sisters, it is always good to be back in the house of the Lord. I am excited. How many of you are excited for this week's covenant series? Oh, brothers and sisters, we got a taste of what the Holy Spirit has for us this Sabbath morning if you were here. But if you weren't here, if you happened to miss out this morning, the sermon entitled The Image, focusing on the image of God. How many of you remember that Hebrew word? What is covenant translated as in Hebrew? Berit. And then we focused on, and God created man in his image. Elohim bara what? Adam what? Tesalim. I wanted to see if I had some scholars in here. That's all right. I have to learn it. But brothers and sisters, we were able to get into the Word of God and understand that bara, God wants us to be filled up with that promise, that filled up with what? With what? What does he want to fill us up with? He wants to fill us up with his Spirit, but he wants to fill us up, and filling us up literally means creating us. God created us. He's continuing the process of creating us. In turn, allow Satan not to encourage you to question your what? Your dignity, your destiny, and your freedom. You see, brothers and sisters, God wants you to lift your heads up high and know that he has a plan for you, that you reflect his image. He wants you to understand the purpose he has for you is one that is unique. So let no one question your destiny and the freedom, brothers and sisters. This is the difficult part. The freedom he has given us to choose is attached to obedience. And when we choose not to obey God, then we do not walk in his godlikeness. Hence, therefore, we are not portraying the reflection of Christ. So as we continue in this covenant series, brothers and sisters, I hope that you are able to leave here with some knowledge, but some tools in order that it may be applicable to your life. If at any time during this series anything that I say makes no sense, please tell me. I will stop. I will paraphrase. I will say it in your language if I have to learn your language. And I'll make sure you understand here. This week is not about us allowing the word to get over our heads, but we want it to get into our hearts. Amen? Amen. Oh, brothers and sisters, once again, it is a joy to have all of you. I would like to extend a warm welcome to our visitors. Met one of the members, sisters in the back. But for those that I've not met, for those this is your first time, I could tell you, you're in the right place. And if you beg to differ, tell me after. How about it? But before we begin, before we get into God's word and continue this series, let's bow our heads as we pray. A kind and loving Heavenly Father, we pause once more because you are good. Thank you for the agreement, this pact, this treaty, this covenant you've made with us, that we are able to experience the gift of salvation, that we know that you have our backs, that nothing can come between us and thee if we choose to accept you as our Lord and Savior. I ask, dear God, that the Holy Spirit come in this place. In this brief moment, let the people hear you. Let them see you. Allow my words only to reflect your words. So take control, dear God. Bless each heart here, that when we leave here, we can say, yes, we have been in the house of the Lord. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I do want to repeat, and it's very crucial, I do want to repeat what Pastor Gomez said, that the focus of this series is, yes, you leave here heart-filled, blessed, but we want to make sure that it's conducive for your schedule. We don't want it to be overbearing, because why? Every night is a significant night. You do not want to miss out on one sermon. They all, in some way, connect. There are segues between these sermons that allow it to have some form of a symphony, okay? So the goal is for you to come on out. Service begins at 7 prompt, and we want to end here at 8 o'clock, which means when you start to see the pastor in the spirit, remind him the spirit will be here tomorrow. Because I can keep going, but the Holy Spirit will be here tomorrow. We want you to come on out and get all of it. So, brothers and sisters, I ask that you continue to pray for the word and the messenger, myself, that I can fulfill this what? Covenant. Amen. All right. This evening, would you kindly turn to Genesis chapter 9? Time is short. Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. I will wait for you. I want to read with you. Genesis chapter 9. When you found chapter 9, say amen. Amen. All right. And when you found verse 8, somebody say hallelujah. All right, so now we can go. All others will follow in faith and in our hearing. And the book and the word of God says here, and let me start off from verse 8 of chapter 9. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, what? Behold, I establish my covenant with you. And with your what? Your seed after you. And with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you. For all that go out of the ark, to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. That's my translation. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. Verse 12 says, and God said, what? This is a what? A sign, some version says token, of the covenant which I make between me and you, and what? Every living creature that is with you for perpetual what? Generations. Okay. Verse 13 says, I do set my what? Bow in the cloud, rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be taken for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. This evening's message is entitled Perpetual Sign. A perpetual sign. Now, when you study scripture and you understand the variations of a covenant, remember this morning I said something key to you and I have it here. Remember, the Bible understands covenant from two different perspectives. The unconditional or the internal covenant. Berit Olam, which is between Yahweh and what? The people of Israel slash what? Judah. Okay? The focus is that Israel and Judah presumes that the covenant can never be broken, although it does allow for divine judgment. The second one goes into the conditional covenant. Means that the covenant might be broken if the people, what? Fail to comply with the divine will. Hold that thought. That's crucial. Hold that thought. If the what? The conditional means what? If the people fail to comply with God's will. The unconditional, it can never be broken, but it is not void of what? Divine judgment. That's it. Try to remember that throughout this series. I'll come back to it, but it will make sense. When you look in the book of Genesis chapter 9 and you understand this story, how many of you know the story of Noah? How many of you have seen many various depictions of the antediluvian period? I'm sure you've heard of Russell Crowe's version of a Noah. What a depiction. Well, before the antediluvian period, the world was sinful. It was evil. I mean, the first children born to the first parents or the first beings, one of them turned out to be a murderer. So you're looking at already a 50-50 chance of the earth's survival. Remember, we talked this morning about a sponge, the brain. Could you imagine a murderer teaching a child how to live? He's going to teach a child how to what? Be a murderer. So this is how the world continued. Cain's descendants came and they just continued to pollute the world with their wickedness and their behavior, all because Cain refused to walk in that what? God-likeness, that image of God. And so, brothers and sisters, the first 2,000 years, because when you go through the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 through 9, and you see, we skipped all the sweet parts. You actually have an account of 2,000 years, considering Seth in the Bible was what? One of the oldest men to live, if I'm correct? 900 and what? 69 years. If that's one person, we're looking at a time span of 2,000 years in the Bible, the antediluvian, which means before the flood, that the world existed and it was wicked. Now, brothers and sisters, I've lived 25. No, I was a boy. Now you know some of these sermons are archived, don't you? I've lived 30 plus years on this earth, and I can tell you what I've experienced in these 30 years alone is enough for me to want God to come on in and bring in that conditional perspective. You know what I'm talking about? Where we fail to comply and he needs to step on in. Well, that's what the antediluvian, the flood, was all about. The people were already establishing themselves to be a hopeless people. God had drafted up a plan and what? To what? Commit to this covenant he made with us in the Garden of Eden, that we would what? Reflect the image of God. Now watch this. You know why I love scripture? Because when you go into chapter 9, and I'm going to be jumpy, I'm going to get excited. It's a difference between a Sabbath and a weekday. You'll definitely see the difference in the speaker. All right? In chapter 9, when you go into this book, go to the verses before chapter 8, where we say, and God's word says, whoso sheddeth man's blood by man, verse 6, shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply. Bring it forth abundantly into the earth and multiply therein. God is reminding, right? Who paid the ransom? He's reminding who's the life giver. And he's also saying to us, let's remember now, created man he in what? In the image of God. Why is he reminding Noah and his sons as they are about to leave the ark? Remember, we skipped all the good stuff. Remember, 120 years Noah preached? How many of us know that? Do you know that story, my sister? For 120 years, Noah preached sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon, and people refused to make a change. The only people that accepted the word that Noah was speaking, that God would destroy the earth with a flood, were Noah, his sons, and his wives. Now, he had three sons. His sons had what? Wives, each of them. That's six, plus Noah and his wife. How many people survived? Eight people. So God started the world off with two, and then he rebooted the system and started it off with eight. It's not complicated. Just a thing 2,000 years later, though. So we have to ask ourselves, how many people died, perished, all because they failed to comply to that conditional perspective of what a covenant means when it's in regard to maintaining oneself in the image of God? When you decide to go astray from God's desire and plan for you, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to step in when we fail to comply. And this is what God did. And then God destroyed the earth with water. Eight folks live, and now God wants to reboot the system. Imagine, brothers and sisters, there was no Bible. The manuscripts, the only thing they had was what they were what? Told. You can actually see it in verse 5. When you look at Genesis, it's very amazing. You know, verse 5 says, and surely your blood of your lives, verse 5, chapter 9, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, and at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. This goes back to Genesis chapter 1, where God speaks about life. When God talks about who has dominion over who. Now tell me something, brothers and sisters. If God has given us the responsibility to have dominion over the earth, why is it that we have not taken advantage of it, rather than we have abused it? Why is it that when Cain came in, he had to just come in and kill Abel? He's talking about shedding man's life. Who was Cain to come along and remove a man's life? One that was reflecting God's image. So this is where God has to step in and say no more. Brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, when you look around the world, do you realize that God wants to step in? He wants to use that conditional perspective, because we fail to comply. Because guess what? This is not the first time you've heard Christ appealing to your heart. This is not the first time you've probably heard that Jesus loves you. But do you really know that Jesus loves you? And the more that we fail to comply, all we're doing is leading up to that point, brothers and sisters, where God says in this covenant, no longer will I destroy the earth with water, but he never said he wouldn't destroy it by fire. And that's why we have to remember the conditional perspective. Because when we fail to comply, and guess what? We have failed to comply. 4,000 years later, post-antediluvian period, when we look around, have we complied? And when I say we, I'm talking about the inclusiveness. We live in the world. Has the world complied? No. The world has not complied. The world has not accepted the teachings and allowed the transformative power to come on in and allow that covenant to be sealed. Satan wants to steal that right from you. When you go into the book of Noah, I say the book of Noah really means chapter 9. When you go into chapter 9 of Genesis, and God is saying, and I will establish again my covenant with you. Now, tell me something. How is it that God is always trying to establish a covenant with him, and we're not trying to establish one with him? No, God is trying to establish a covenant with us, and we're not trying to establish one with him. He's constantly establishing a covenant. The only difference is, brothers and sisters, the covenant that God established with Noah post-antediluvian period, when walking off the ark, was that he would give them a token. A token. Stay with me. I've got 10 minutes. And that token in Hebrew means oath. Your version may say a sign. Now I know, brothers and sisters, some of you that may be philosophers or infatuated with the Ancient of Oz, you know that in ancient times, and even among some of today's traditionalists, or even amongst cultures, it is customary to exchange what? A gift. A token. Just to consecrate the treaty and the pact between those that are making that agreement. When you see ambassadors go to a country, or a president flies to another country, you think they're going empty-handed? You don't see the token, but they're carrying one. For some, it could be a dowry. In ancient times, before you could go and marry a woman, and boy, we're going to get to that this week. Before you married a woman, you needed a what? Dowry. You couldn't show up empty-handed. You had to say how much you had, how much you're going to give, and what you're going to make after. Now, today's society, it's a little bit miscued. It's almost the same thing. I've heard of it. I've not experienced it. Thank you, honey. But I've seen folks, when they sit down to date, you know, folks ask, oh, what's your credit score? How many debts you got? Those are the questions in the society we live. Not, oh, friend, do you love Jesus? And then you say, oh, yes, I love Jesus. And are you sure you love Jesus? We're going over the wrong criteria. Nonetheless, I do not want to stray away from the fact that this token, this bow in the sky, is not just a token, but it's a sign. Not just a token and a sign, but a perpetual one. Hebrew translates perpetual as tamid. Literally perpetual, you know it, means continuous. Always, never ending. So every time you look in the sky and you see a rainbow, do you know that's a reminder of the fact that God will not destroy this earth with a flood? Now, did God try to trick us? No. I've watched a few documentaries. Don't want to say which ones, but a lot of them comes to, in regards to how the government goes about, you know, this big talk about waterboarding and society and how we should do this and do that. Well, you know, I've watched a few documentaries and stumbling upon a documentary, you know, two persons were trying to differentiate whether it would be worse to drown or it would be worse to be burnt by fire. Now, I wouldn't ask you which one you prefer, but I would like to think that the fire that God is talking about ain't the fire that we experience here on earth. The fire he's talking about is a different type of fire that I don't want to feel. But imagine, brothers and sisters, if he had to reboot the system and he destroyed it with a flood, how do you think he's going to deal with those that fail to comply when it's in regards to accepting his covenant? You can't slap Jesus in the face and not feel divine judgment. And I'm not preaching a fair message, brothers and sisters. I'm just calling as it is. God, when we look at the covenant in the sky, it's not just a reminder to Noah, his sons, and as the Bible says, to be fruitful and multiply in the generations. This would be a perpetual sign for generations to come. It's a reminder for us of what happened and what is to come. Because if God can be accurate about being perpetual with his token, which is the bow in the sky, I promise you, he will be perpetual with his wrath. The word of God always tells us what would happen to us if we fail to comply. This is not that sermon. You already know. What I wanted to tell you, brothers and sisters, today is that God wants to give you a perpetual token. He wants you to have a tamid oath. You don't know what it is in your life that God wants to do for you, but if you focus on the destiny, you have that dignity and that freedom, and you trust in him. Brothers and sisters, every day you get up, he's trying to give you a perpetual sign. A token of his grace, a token of his mercy. He's done things for you that you forgot that he did. And sometimes he needs to remind us. It's amazing, brothers and sisters. The rainbow only comes out after the rain. It only comes out after a storm. And sometimes God needs to shake our lives up. He needs to reboot us in order that we can see that token. He wants you to have that token. He wants you to experience what Noah those felt after word and being laughed at and skewed at. You don't think people laugh at those that want to find Jesus? Or y'all been saying Jesus was coming long time. They did it then. They're doing it now. But guess what? I think I learned my lesson. I believe that God is perpetual with his promises too. If he says it, he means it. And that's it. Every day you wake up, the devil wants to replace this token, this sign. And let me tell you something. If you want to know what we all can share in and partake in regards to having the same token, the token and the sign that we share in is the blood of Jesus Christ. Every day the word of God should be our token. The reminder that the blood shed for us on Calvary is what allows me to be binded to this covenant. But every morning you wake up, the devil wants to put a different token in your life. A token reminder of all the mistakes you made. He wants to put a token there of where you are and where you will never be. You know, whether it be, oh, for example, have you ever ran into someone from yesteryear and they remind you of, oh, you had potential? Oh, and, you know, I remember a time I would run into folk, and every time I see the folk, you had great potential. But what happened to you? Oh, you think that didn't happen to me? Well, you know, I have some stories. And people would always give you a token, but not the one you want. Always something to remind you, a sign of whether or not you're good enough, whether or not you're worthy, whether or not God loves you, whether or not you're worthy of salvation. You see, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to put a perpetual reminder of the fact that you're not worthy when God says, I have a perpetual sign that you are worthy. We need to remove these things that remind us of who we used to be. You see, that's why they say we are a product of our environment. You can't be for God. You can't be for Christ and still living in the world. Because all you got around you are tokens and reminders and signs, more and more signs that this is a life of sin. You can't be one river on the bank and one foot on the river. There are enough signs in your life. There are enough tokens in your life. The one that you lived in the world to show you this ain't the world that you want to live in. But there are some of us, brothers and sisters, that have not yet experienced the tokens, the signs, these perpetual tokens that God wants us to experience daily. Every time I look up in the sky and I see that bow, that rainbow in the sky, it only reminds me of the God who was, the God who is, and the one who is to come. It only reminds me of where I used to be, where I am today, and where I want to be. It's perpetual. God doesn't give us perpetual signs in order that you can recognize that he's God. Oh, he knows he's God. He gives us a perpetual sign to remind us that we are his children. He gives us the perpetual signs to remind us that he still loves us. Perpetual signs to let you know he's not done with you yet and time is not lost. Another perpetual sign, brothers and sisters, is every time you see 11 a.m. Sabbath morning, the doors open up and there's a church service, you need to remember you have the perpetual sign, not only the freedom to worship, but the freedom to choose God. When your pastor calls you just to see how you're doing, it's a perpetual sign that God still loves you and he's still impressing others to care about you. To my visitors, a perpetual sign. If you didn't know that you were going to be here last year, just a perpetual sign that God knows the plans he has for you and the plans to prosper you. That's why you're here tonight. He's perpetual. He never falls short. And yes, brothers and sisters, the rainbow only comes out after the storm. And whatever storms you may be going out in your lives, you have to understand to know that those storms are perpetual too, because right after the storm comes what? The sun. So our trials and tribulations will be perpetual because God tells us that in his word. He never said we would be void of them, but he said to be faithful. He said to comply to his obedience if you love him. This week, we are going to go deeper and deeper into a covenant. Remember, there are two different perspectives. But what I do want you to understand that a covenant is a pact, an agreement between God and us. God and us, whether we decide to accept it or not. He already made the covenant. We just have to accept it. It is my desire that this week, as we continue to go deeper and deeper, that this word covenant, pact, agreement between God and man, gives new life and new meaning to us. Not to be taken lightly. That way, when you know, when someone says to you that Jesus died for you and he did it in order that you may have life, you know it's real. Not like when someone says to you, I promise to hold you in sickness and in health, and the minute you get sick, they kick the fan. You see, that's why this week you don't want to miss out on our sermons, Deal or No Deal, or The Promise of a Father. You don't want to miss any sermon, any message this week. It's going to get juicier and juicier. But until then, brothers and sisters, I pray that your hearts have been blessed. And I pray that you remember that God wants to show you his perpetual token in your life. If every day you wake up and say, God, show me a sign, he'll give you a sign that he's good. He'll remind you he's faithful. He'll remind you that it's his desire for you to have a prosperous life. He doesn't want to destroy it. Not for those who want to walk in his image. So if it is your desire to walk in the image of God, to reflect that image, to experience that perpetual sign of his promise, his grace, oh, brothers and sisters, will you stand on your feet this evening? Because I know the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. We pray this evening that as you leave here, the words not ricochet in one ear and come out the back, that you understand that God wants to make a deal with you again. Why? Because he's been trying to do it every day you wake up. That's why they call this the day of salvation. Yesterday in the day of salvation, you know, today is the day of salvation. The moment you're living in, you can't say yesterday was I was saved yesterday. You have to say, I'm saved today. Because what yesterday did for you, today won't do for you. You need God to come in and be perpetual. Allow the Holy Spirit to come in and be perpetual. He can't reside in your heart one day and one day don't reside in the heart. It only took 120 years to separate those who were of Christ and those who weren't. And Noah was only able to save his family. God has spent 4,000 years since that time, post-antediluvian period, to try to differentiate those who are reflecting the image of God and those who recognize his perpetual sign. And brothers and sisters, that time will come. But guess what? Everyone here, whether you believe it or not, whether you want to accept it or not, you've already been saved. So that's that. So as we continue this week, know that you are already saved. You are already saved. Because God's promise is perpetual. It's my desire you leave here in peace. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your perpetual promises and signs, tokens towards us, reminding us of the covenant between God and man. Oh, Heavenly Father, there's much that can be said in your word. It's so profound and so deep, and I can go on and on, but I pray that your Holy Spirit took control tonight. If I held anything back of my own accord, forgive me, dear God. But I ask that the words that were of my mouth and a meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Let it be transformative for those that are here listening to your word. Oh, Heavenly Father, bless them. Families represented here, as they go to their homes, their communities, oh, let their desire and the inclination be to cling on to this word, to come on out night after night and to hear more about you. Keep it fresh, keep it original, or dear God, keep it you. And at the end of it all, you alone receive the praise, the honor, and the glory. This is our prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.